Welcome back to Shattering This. We still have Glenn on the line. I don't know if he's listening or as a participant going forward in this second hour. But we have Glenn, and we also have our good friend and artist, Kirk. How are you, Kirk?
I'm good. Good morning. Both of you and Glenn. Hey.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
I understand that you have... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to make a party shot and drop off. Let Kirk take over here. I heard them mention Loretta Lynch on the news thing. Wasn't she a coal miner's daughter?
Yes. There you go.
That was Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, she at least played one.
That was Loretta Lynch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, by the way, on coal, in that this administration in particular has gone to war against America's most prevalent energy resource and has done everything they can to preclude its use. And the coal, both the gasification of coal, which is what ran the German war machine, the gasification of coal, turning coal into to fuel to run machines and airplanes, and coal being burned to generate power. It's America's most prevalent energy resource, and we would be energy independent if we used it. But climate control is going to trump the use of America's energy asset. And, of course, the president is also banning any exploration of ANWR, which is where we have our largest reserves, and also exploration and drilling in the offshore and the Gulf and eastern seaboard. And between those things, it makes us wholly energy dependent, which is a big part of total control.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And they can even burn bituminous cleanly these days, let alone anthracite. So that's
right.
But one last thing, the Dow is trending down. The Dow is trending down, but don't worry, the Apple Watch is on its way to save it.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be a buyer of the Apple Watch. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, you know, I'm still an analog guy. You know, I actually take, my sense of time is based upon, the amount of light. You know, if dawn is beginning to break, it's then I slept in. Then it was a little late to get up. I like to get up at 5:15 to 5:30, and once the sun begins to set, it's time to feed the dog, to go out to an early dinner, and I'll unwind a little bit after dinner. But I'm
are you early bed?
I'm an early bed guy. Yeah, I am.
I like to stay up late and draw and all kind of stuff and read and have a good time.
Okay, yeah.
I'm covering all those other areas while you're sleeping. So.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I was drawing last night, by the way.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was drawing. I like architecture, and I was drawing a garage with a studio office above it for the home in Cincinnati that we're vying to be grandparents. So once we get this one sold, this one is actually in escrow. It's supposed to close here in about 2 weeks. But we bought a home in Cincinnati to be grandparents, and I spent last night looking at the county assessor's office to get a feeling for the property line and setbacks and the like, and drew a sort of attached via a walkway garage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was drawing last night.
Okay, well done.
Yeah, well, no, you haven't seen my drawing. I am capable of drawing straight lines and drawing something to scale.
That's why they invented the ruler, you know.
So, well, that's what I use.
I grow crooked lines, you know.
Yeah, I know. Say, you're probably freehand. Really cool. Yeah, I know. I use a ruler. And actually drew the building in ink, and only had to white out two tiny mistakes. So that was pretty good. I was on my best behavior last night.
Well done.
You had a comment or two on the circumcision before we jump back into the Yaz testimony?
I had a couple of things. On circumcision, I had a couple of comments, and I want to ask you a question.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it without, you know, just without beating this thing to death. I couldn't, these are almost rhetorical in a sense, mm-hmm. but when you think about circumcision, because it's such a hang-up for everybody, I thought to myself, well, Yahweh wouldn't ask someone to harm the children. I mean, so it's obviously not a harming thing.
Nope.
And he wouldn't injure somebody's body in a way that it would be difficult to reproduce or to make it less pleasant.
Or to enjoy the process of reproduction. Yeah, love, right?
So that's really not going to happen. So if that's appeared to somebody, that's absurd.
Right.
And he must have known, you know, he knew everything ahead of time, so he knew that there was some superfluous skin attached to this part of the body. So in the scenario,
and that you are healthier if it is, it's a health advantage.
Yeah, of course.
From not only cleanliness, but also for venereal disease, if it's clipped and spreading the venereal disease, it's you're healthier, and so is your partner if it is clipped. He asked us to clip our sons on the eighth day, which happens to be the time where of all of human life, the eighth day from the time we were born is the time that that our blood is the best suited to coagulate into and heal.
Yeah.
So a wound on the eighth day is the least likely to bleed out and the most likely to heal quickly and without side effect.
Yeah.
So his timing was even perfect.
Mm-hmm. And it also is symbolic of eternity. Just happens to throw in.
Just happens. The eighth day is the not only symbolic of eternity, but the letter for eight is the very sign we use for infinity today.
All right. So there's really not a negative at all that
no.
you can find on this thing. So
no.
it's not a big deal, especially today. If you had to have it done today, it certainly would not.
Yeah, it is a big deal in the sense of it's the sign of the one and only covenant,
I mean,
and the covenant is the only way to have a relationship with Yahweh and to benefit from what God has to offer. It's the only means to escape mortal life.
Yeah.
But it, in terms of what he's asking for us, it's like every other condition of the covenant, Kirk. Mm. Each of the five conditions for us to participate in the covenant, although they all require something from us, there's not one of the five that's a sacrifice.
No.
All five are benefits.
Yeah, nothing.
We benefit when we are aware that that human institutions, political, military, economic, religious, institutions are corrupt, and we separate ourselves from them. There's just this great release in terms of understanding and perspective and openness to reality and to truth. So that's a huge plus. Walking to Yahweh to become perfect is a huge plus because you get to enjoy these festival feasts with him and party with him.
Yeah.
The whole concept of paying attention to the terms and conditions of his covenant, searching his word, is a great adventure of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
I find.
You know, trusting and relying on Yahweh is very comfortable once you come to know him. And so that only leaves circumcision, and you've talked about it. It has a health benefit, and it probably has a benefit also in terms of just satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it has no risk associated with it.
Yeah, it's really not. These are not negative, so that should take that out of the equation. So.
You know, there is a major campaign, though, and in opposite views, one in Africa that is encouraging circumcision because of the plague of venereal diseases throughout Africa. And so in Africa, there are national campaigns to encourage circumcision at birth to try to eradicate some of these venereal diseases. And in the United States and in Europe, there is exactly the opposite.
Right.
That there's a political campaign to outlaw it and to render it as savage. And the only reason for doing that would be that it's a political correctness trying to establish itself as the national religion in opposition to Yahweh.
I have a Jewish friend who was talking about they're trying to outlaw it in San Francisco, and that's becoming quite a problem for the Jewish community there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there. And the more liberal the community, the more steeped in political correctness, San Francisco would be probably highest in America on that list, because in San Francisco, the moral code of political correctness takes bisexuality and homosexuality as the most enlightened position. And so it is extraordinarily prevalent there. That's the community that's one of many that is trying to outlaw circumcision, which would make it, by the way, the Torahless one who will come in just 11 years, he will outlaw circumcision.
I'm sure
worldwide.
Hadrian did.
And just like Paul went to war against the Hadrian, outlawed it, the Roman emperor, not only did Hadrian outlaw it, but Paul spoke against it. So circumcision will be is a sign of the covenant that is going to find the greatest pushback from society. Do you know that in medical school, one of the things they will teach you in medical school, and I've gotten so many people who are in medical school who have sent me the journal articles on this, that the science doesn't mean that you don't have it talked about unless you're looking for it. But there's a form of male prostate cancer, not prostate cancer, but testicular cancer, I think, that has never found in a circumcised male. So there are forms of genital cancer in men that are only found in uncircumcised males.
Yeah. Another point. Yeah.
Yeah. Another point. I mean, the guy's good.
Yeah.
The guy that designed the. I mean, there's some aspects of our machinery here that, you know, probably could be. I might have tried a different approach, but you know, he knows what he's doing.
I have my hair back.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See. Yeah. But when it comes to design qualities, yeah, he's quite an artist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Circumcision, like every sign of every condition of the covenant, is actually in our benefit.
Yeah.
That's what fathers do, by the way.
Yes.
The conditions for living in the home. You know, if you had a son that was sexually perverted and he was raping your daughter, you would say, you can't live here. In fact, for you to allow your son to live there and take advantage of your daughter would make you grotesquely immoral. And that's an extreme version of saying, this is Yahweh's home. It's in our interest that he establish some conditions for us living in this home. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So, Kirk, you're... point is well taken. That the fact of the matter is that what Yahweh is asking us to do regarding circumcision isn't a burden. And I really get sick of the excuse, and I've heard it so many times where people write, you know, for you to say that God requires somebody to be circumcised, to be saved, to enter heaven, that makes God, you know, this mean-spirited individual who would tell the 70-year-old man who's just now learning about the covenant that at 70 he has to go out and be circumcised or he's excluded. That's a God that I don't want to know.
Well, Abraham liked him.
Yeah, well, Abraham did it, and Abraham didn't have a problem with him. But if the covenant that were formed with Abraham isn't acceptable to you, that's fine. Don't want you in heaven anyway.
Don't have to go in everybody's house, you know.
That's right. Good riddance. Stay away. That is the bottom line. And by the way, you know, if you were us, we have probably had 20. 65 to 80-year-old men who have come to know Yahweh through the various shows and books where we've taken the time to share what he had to say and have been convinced that Yahweh was God and that he revealed his Torah to guide us to the covenant and that there is no mistaking that circumcision is a requirement for a man to be part of the covenant. More than 65 years old,
mm-hmm.
There's at least 20 who have been circumcised. And the cost was anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, depending on where it was done. And I'm talking about people around the world, Europe, New Zealand, Australia, the United States, Canada, South America, have shared their stories. They paid anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 to have it done. They said it was done in a matter of hours, that it was a non-event, that that there was a little bit of soreness the that day, but the following day they were back to normal.
I have a kind of a hypothetical question I wanted to ask.
Oh, by the way, can I just throw one thing before you have your hypothetical question? But rather than blame God for the 70-year-old man doing what Abraham did and becoming circumcised in advanced years, you ought to be blaming your parents.
Well, I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah, you ought to blame your parents. The instruction is for parents to circumcise their children on the eighth day. That is so that we and they will remember the covenant, and we're prepared for the covenant. It's our responsibility as parents to prepare our children just as Yahweh prepares us, to educate them just as Yahweh educates us. That's the purpose of parents circumcising their children. So your parents let you down if you're a male not circumcised and you want to be part of the covenant. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at your parents, and get mad at their religious leaders who and political leaders who hoodwinked them.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little situation, hypothetical situation, we'll say, mm-hmm. and I wanted your comments on it.
Sure.
You're an adult. You've come to know Yahweh to mm-hmm. some degree, and you mm-hmm. obviously want to be part of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a child that's not circumcised, but it's not a child anymore. It's an adult that mm-hmm. Is still needs your supervision because of a handicap or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If the child doesn't want to do it, I mean, you can't very well.
That's correct. I have received a score of letters or more
mm-hmm.
from husbands and wives who have come to know Yahweh and the covenant later in their lives, who did not circumcise their children. In fact, one man that I dearly love down under. And he encouraged his sons to be circumcised, and I know at least one of them, if not two of them, have become circumcised later in life. Mm-hmm. And my advice to them is always the same, which is that once your children are adults, they're under the auspices of free will. I mean, all you can do is explain the covenant to them and tell them its benefits and conditions and encourage them to do it. And if you have the wherewithal, if you have, let's say it's $1,000 to $5,000 to have it done later in life, if you have the wherewithal as a parent to give them money and say, I want to give this to you so that if you choose to have this done, which I hope you do, at least I will have done my best to correct, you know, my omission in the past. Yeah. And I always equate this for so that there's no guilt on the parent's part. Once you become part of the covenant, our guilt is washed away. When I was a Christian and I was political and patriotic for most of my life, I mean, I said and did a lot of things that I ought not have said and done. But once we stop, once we walk away from those things, Yahweh doesn't hold them against us anymore. And so the parents should feel a sense of relief. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. Kirk, I'd like to provide a personal response to your hypothetical. My brother's mentally handicapped, born mentally handicapped. And once he reached, I think he was like 16, 17, and showed an interest in girls, my father recognized, and I think even maybe he was 18 years old, showed an interest in girls. My father recognized that it was wise to perform a vasectomy. I mean, Scott, my brother's a loving guy. Wonderful, wonderful person. Just thrilled to be around. But, you know, he could process information at a certain level, and that wasn't going to change. And so my father decided that it would be appropriate to give my brother a vasectomy. And my brother had no interest, of course, in that. And then, he actually misled him and said, I was always Bubba, that Bubba was going to have one, too. We'd both have one. And, well, if Bubba was going to have one, then it was okay with him. And so he acquiesced as an adult to the vasectomy because Bubba was going to have one. And well, I have subsequently had one. I didn't have one until after our second son was born. And so when our first child was born, he said, well, you know, he called them uticles. How come Bubba's uticles weren't fixed? Because, you know, he obviously had the birth of our first son, and it was really difficult to then say, well, you know, your dad misled you because it was in your interest. And it was really a sad situation going back to see how he was misled. So I have a personal experience not with circumcision, but with a vasectomy, same part of the anatomy, with a mentally handicapped adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, as I look at the disappointment of having been deceived, that it was a bad call.
Yeah, I can say that.
So I don't think there's anything that the parents can do for this mentally handicapped adult, other than to, as you know, based upon the artistic presentation that Yahweh has made, very simple, clear presentation of who he is and what he's offering, and the Hebrew characters themselves, that Yahweh's story resonates with anyone who's open to it.
Yeah.
And so, I would encourage them, if they're capable, and if not them, someone like yourself who can communicate Yahweh's plan of wanting to be dad in an eternal heavenly family and home, mm-hmm. to communicate that, such that the individual chooses to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all you can do, isn't it? I mean, you can't.
That is all you can do.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't know where it was that I found this, and I think it's in Yirmiyah, but I'm not positive. You know, my mind isn't as retentive of information as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was translating information on the family covenant,
mm-hmm.
I came across a passage whereby the only rational, consistent interpretation of what God said is that a child born into the family where the father is a member of the covenant. And I suspect that just because Hebrew is a language that everything has a gender attached to it, that it might well have also meant the mother. But it certainly was written, it's just the nature of the language, spoke of the father. Where a father is a member of the covenant, that child, up until the age, and it doesn't specify the age, but that's the implication, that while the child is still a child, that the child will receive the fate of the or receive the benefit of the parents, so that if the child were to pass away early to a parent who is a child of the covenant,
mm-hmm.
that the child would receive full benefits of the covenant.
Yeah, and that's. I think that's probably. I believe that's right.
And it seemed right. And then I read a passage that was explaining the fate of children under these circumstances, and that's what the words conveyed. So, but that being the case, Yahweh is so clear that an uncircumcised male cannot enter his home.
Yeah.
Because it's the sign of the covenant, and I don't see where God ever makes exceptions.
Yeah.
So I think in this hypothetical, if it is a hypothetical, then I wouldn't worry about it if it's mirroring a real life situation.
Mm-hmm.
I would do everything I could to, in very simple terms, to present the covenant so wonderfully and simply to the young man that he chooses to have this done.
Well, like Terry said, he doesn't say how much. You know,
doesn't say how much. Yeah, does not say how much, doesn't say when, doesn't say, well, it does say when as parents, but well, it doesn't.
Yeah, but if you're beyond that time of the eighth day, then you and you come to know later, that would be another option. It doesn't have to be, well, you know, you just take it from there.
Yep. Let's return, if we can, to the statement of Yahweh. This is 17:11. After telling us in 17:9 and 10 that this is Bar Rashif, Genesis 9 and 10, that the most important thing is for us to be observant, to closely examine and carefully consider what Yahweh had to say about the covenant. After presenting that perspective, that umbrella for what follows, we need to be observant. Yahweh told us that we should, for all time, for all generations, circumcise our sons so that they remember. And then this is the specific instruction on this. He says, and you shall cut off and separate mul, your foreskins. This is erala, association with eth, the flesh, the bashar. And this will exist, haya, as the sign to remember oath, the family-oriented covenant relationship, bereth, between me for the purpose of making a connection, bien, and between you promoting understanding. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, so,
mul is the first word. That's the word for cut off and separate, circumcise. Scribed in the Niphil stem. The Niphil stem is the voice of relationships where the subject, that would be you and me.
During the action.
Right. Expressly as a parent. So this is, this is parents regarding their children. So us as parents, that we receive the benefit of the verb, which is circumcision. And it was written in the perfect conjugation, which means this is not an ongoing cut. It's just the once and done. The circumcision is not an ongoing thing. You just do it.
Yeah.
You do it and you're done with it.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's written in the perfect. It's you do it and you're done with it. And the because of the Niphil, it says that we as parents receive the benefit of having done this. This is the parents being asked to do it, and the parents receive a benefit. And the benefit of the parents is now they're putting themselves in the position of Yahweh, in the sense of Yahweh's role as father over his family, and they're preparing their children to be part of his family, just as Yahweh prepares us and transitions us to be part of his family.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely, yeah.
And, Mole, why don't you, there's three letters in Mole, why don't you lighten us on those?
Yeah, I'm not quite on the same page, but I remember Mole being, it's an M, obviously, the mm-hmm. Mem, followed by the Wa and the Lamb. So you have the water, or life-giving, and then the addition two is where we use the Wa most often. And then the Lamb is leading us, guiding us. His children. So it's the oldest thing I found was it talks about it just simply it didn't really give you much insight beyond just cutting the foreskin, you know, as far as circumstances. But the root, the MJ, is a speak word into continuation of segments which fill the whole, and then. So from the root is M lamb, Mem lamb. So mm-hmm. That's about all I got on that one.
Yeah, it's the Mem for cleansing, the Wa for adding to, and the Lamed the shepherd and for being led to the place where the home is secured and where life is renewed and the sins are cleansed.
Now let me ask
Memoir,
you.
Lament.
me ask you a little side question here. When I'm doing, because I'm doing a lot of analyzing different words and so forth, like chabuk we talked about. I'm working on that slowly and slower. But I'm trying not to read more into it or put things into it when I'm reading. But it's hard not to. It's so obvious. Like you'll see a word that'll say exactly what it means, and then if you by just understanding, I mean it's just absolutely the same story y'all's telling over and over and over. I mean he's really puts this in all these words. I mean it's I'm finding it. You know, normally you think it wouldn't have much bearing on everything, but gosh, when you go through 10-20 words in a passage, most of them are right on target.
And you absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of freaky. I'll give you an example if you like. I don't want to get you off course.
Go ahead. No, please. Yeah, please.
Well, but we're watching a show the other night. I'm getting kind of weird. We're watching a show the other night about midwives. And for some reason, I decided, well, let me look up midwife and see what it says. And I know we're going to go through a break in a second, but you know, it has a yod, a lam, and a delete. And let me tell you what it said and then what it said to me.
Okay, well, we have to do this after the commercial break, but
right.
Why don't we commence at this point after the quick commercial break. All right, Mr. Artist,
had a
word.
Yes. You know, it sounds weird, but I'm an artist, so if they think I'm weird, so what? I mean, that's all right. I can get by on that. But
you're probably a hippie artist. I mean, I was picturing the long wavy hair and the throwback to the 60s. But you're saying you'd like to have your hair back.
I grow because the girls liked it. So when I had hair, I certainly let it grow a little bit in college. But
yeah.
I didn't like being dirty.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you play ball, you get dirty, but I mean, that's not a natural state to be in all the time. So.
Okay.
Here was the point. Only motivation to do any of this stuff for me is to just to turn over these stones and find out as much
it
as
it's fun turning over stones.
I mean,
yeah, it's fun turning over stones. You know, the stones that I most like to turn over are the ones that that people think would say, all right, that'll undermine your perspective. You know, the ones they say, but you know, God really does want to be worshipped. Look what it says over here. You know, and you say, you know, Jesus really is his name. Look what it says over here. And when they give you the challenge, that's like the Yosha's comment is his answer to the religious group. The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the 3 days. Jonah of 3 days and three nights and the heart of the land. And you say, see, that proves your time. The line is all off. It couldn't have been Pesach, Matzah, and Bekodim. And then you go into it and you read it and then you read the actual story in Hebrew and you go, oh, wow, all this does is reinforce what we've come to know is true. So I love those. I love turning over the stones. And it's almost like God says, aha, I rewarded you for doing
this.
I rewarded you for doing it. Aren't you glad you did it? Yeah. You know, it's like, go ahead and test me.
Through, but I did.
Yeah. You were wondering if I was going to pull this one off, but there you go.
But
I think it's fun.
This was a case in point. I mean, I don't know why I did it other than it was just funny at the time. I said, well, I'll suck it up for the heck of it. And you have a yod, and you have a lamb, and you have a delete. And that's a hand reaching down with a guiding staff. And to a doorway. Now I know that what they're talking about is their a midwife is guiding a child through the birth canal, and that's fine, and that means exactly. But then you analyze it. I can't look at those.
And trying to protect the life of the child and the mother
and helping.
Right.
Bro, you know,
right. Helping, yeah. To make that whole
born,
birth process
you know, like,
right as safe. For the newborn child and for the mother as is absolutely possible to help in the birth of a new life and positioning the mother in the best possible position to nurture that life. That's a midwife, right?
Absolutely.
And
I can't help but see Yah's hand reaching down, guiding us through a doorway, which is Passover. And I'm
right.
not trying to read more into it than it's there. But
right.
you can't, but either I'm just
right.
grabbing at straws and trying to put
right.
everything together, or y'all
right.
are so good that you can't
right.
find the word hardly where he doesn't put it all in.
Right. And there is the visual imagery. I don't know, you know, how
yeah.
many of our listeners have been there, as, and I can only speak from a man's perspective. But I was there for both of our children were born, and that the hand reaching in through that opening to give the first breath of life to a newborn child, and they realized that Yahweh's term for the first woman and mother was Chawa, life giver. And that Passover is the doorway to life, with Yahweh's hand reaching down to grasp ours as we walk through and follow the shepherd to the ultimate pasture. It seems to me that he designed humanity and his alphabet
yeah.
to reinforce and convey these truths, and that there's I don't want to get graphic, but there's a great deal of visual reinforcement there.
Yeah, you can't miss this story if you're willing to look. I'm not trying to prove that your translation is right or I know anything.
No.
I'm just saying you can't.
Yeah. No.
I was a debater in high school. That's real good. You can't argue this stuff.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I took an approach to Yahweh's testimony, which I thought was uncommon, which is a debater's perspective. I wanted to debate this. I wanted to apply the rules of debate, which are the rules of logic. And I wanted to see if Yahweh's testimony would withstand the rules of logic and debate.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I put myself in the debater's mindset and tested everything, the more I realized, whoa, Yahweh's the ultimate debater. He laid down an absolute perfect argument on behalf of who he is and what he's offering.
Yeah. I just every turn and the stuff I'm
every jot and tittle, right?
Yeah, every
yeah,
it's
man.
It's almost comical that it's so right.